The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
I wanted to say a few words about working with difficult states in our meditation. This came up a little bit earlier around sleepiness, but I thought I'd just talk a little bit about ways to practice with it, ways to work with it. I found some tools that, for me, have been very helpful in working with difficult states in this particular practice that may not be the kind of normal tools that we think about, so I thought I'd offer some of those to you. The first difficult state that we often meet in our meditation practice is pain in the body. If there's pain in the body, the first thing to recognize, the first thing to acknowledge is that we don't have to rigidly hold ourselves still with pain and grit through it and bear it. So the first thing to acknowledge to ourselves is it will be okay to move at some point. And let me just see if I can understand something a little bit about this before I move, so that we have a kind of an allowing approach to the pain and an allowing approach to our ability to work with it, to meet it. So in terms of understanding pain, recognizing pain, being with pain, we're not trying to get rid of it with our mindfulness practice. What we're trying to do is understand it, understand our relationship to it, understand something about the nature of pain. Much of what we think of as pain, or some of what we think of as pain, let's say some of what we think of as pain is in our physical bodies. There may actually be, in sitting in this posture, some tension or tightness or contraction in the knee or back or shoulder, where there is some irritation that's happening and physical unpleasant sensation is happening. So that's some of what the experience of pain is, that physical unpleasant experience. The larger part of our experience of pain is our relationship to it, how we don't like it, how we want to get rid of it, how we think it has to go away in order for our meditation to continue, how we think it has to go away in order for us to be happy. And that resistant attitude, that aversive attitude to our pain, this is talking about the how of our experience, our relationship to our experience, that resistant attitude to pain tends to create a feedback loop that exacerbates the physical bodily pain and makes the experience worse. At the very simplest level, the Buddha pointed to this as being, well, there's a physical unpleasant sensation, and with that reactivity, what we're doing is we're adding a second mental unpleasant experience to the physical. And that, well, maybe it just sounds like adding, it actually multiplies the pain. It really compounds the pain when we have a mental reactivity to it. And so in our meditation practice, especially in this meditation practice, the encouragement is, if there is reactivity to pain, the first exploration is not to try to be with the pain itself, but to recognize the reactivity. Recognize the aversion, recognize the pushing away, recognize the uncomfortableness of it, recognize how the mind is uncomfortable with the pain. So that's the first check-in. Okay, there is pain and I don't like it. I really don't like it. Acknowledging that aspect of the not liking, of the aversion, of the pushing away. How does that aversion feel in the mind? So that's the first exploration. As long as there's reactivity to pain, generally it's not so helpful to try to put the attention directly on the pain itself. So say you have a knee pain in your meditation, and you really have an aversive reaction to it. Rather than putting your attention in your knee, where the perhaps the physical sensations are strongest, seeing if you can take a step back and recognize, how does the aversion impact me? That question, what is the impact of this aversion on my mind and body? Often there's a kind of a bracing, a tensing of the whole body, a kind of a pushing away, a tightening up of the system, a mental no that's happening, this no. Recognizing that aspect of the experience. Sometimes in this exploration of pain, from time to time, you might find that that reactivity falls away a little bit. Maybe it's a little stronger at times, a little weaker at times. What happens to your experience of pain as that relationship shifts and changes? This is part of our exploration around pain. This curiosity about how does our mind contribute to the experience of pain? A lot more of what we call pain actually happens because of our mental relationship to the physical experience. And we can begin to see this as we see our relationship to the physical experience shift and change. We see the actual sensation experience of pain shift and change. And that's eye-opening for us. We really begin to see just how much of our suffering happens not because of the objective thing that's happening, but because of our relationship to it. And so in the exploration of pain, it's helpful to check into your attitude, your relationship to it. And in this process, sometimes it can get overwhelming. It can get really difficult. Pain can be a very difficult experience to work with, especially if there's a lot of reactivity. If the mind is really contracted around pain, it can be a challenging experience. And so, in the exploration of pain in this practice, we begin by kind of encouraging ourselves, well, let's see if I can just meet this pain and notice my relationship to it. And as soon as it gets overwhelming, it's okay to move. Just letting yourself know that. It's okay to move if it gets too much. You may find you can hang out with this exploration of the pain and our relationship to it, watching our relationship shift and change. Perhaps for a little, you know, maybe for 2 or 3 minutes, maybe for 5 minutes. Being honest with yourself when you've had enough, but also being honest with yourself about whether it's possible to keep exploring this dynamic. It's a very helpful dynamic to get familiar with because so much of our lives are lived with this kind of dynamic of reacting to something that's unpleasant and thinking we have to get rid of the unpleasant in order to be happy, whereas actually it's more about recognizing our relationship to it, seeing how our relationship can shift and change. Certain unpleasant things, there are certain things that we need to take action around in the world. Injustices, harm being created. But there's an awful lot that we react to that is simply just because we don't like it. It's our kind of personal opinion. And we think, well, of course, that's the objective way things are. But then when we start talking to people, it's like, well, no, that doesn't particularly bother me. That's okay with me. So beginning to recognize just how often we actually don't need to objectively change the world and instead come into perhaps a different relationship with what's happening in the world. So that's a little bit about working with pain. And then there are difficult states of mind that come up. A thought comes up, a memory comes up, and the memory is about a difficult situation from the past. And then lo and behold, those difficult emotions are created right here in this moment. memories arise. And it may seem like the emotions are kind of embedded in the memory, but what I've actually seen in my own practice in observing this phenomenon of memories arising and then the emotional response happening is that those memories themselves, the thoughts that happen, they don't necessarily come with the emotional content infused with those thoughts. What seems to happen is that those thoughts arise, and then we react to those thoughts in the moment, recreating here and now those reactive emotions. So we replay a situation in our mind, and it's not the frustration or the aversion or the anger or the confusion that was happening yesterday that's happening now. It is fresh, new, newly created anger, frustration, because that situation has arisen in our mind and we've reacted to it in the moment. So this is a very interesting thing to explore, our minds reacting to things, our minds creating these emotions. And working with difficult emotions, initially, we often don't see this process of difficulty being created. We kind of wake up into the emotional difficulty. We wake up into thinking and the emotional difficulty together. We're thinking about that scenario and we're really frustrated again. So we've woken up into that. The exploration then is, what is it, if possible, what is it like to have that emotion happening? Am I aware? What am I aware of? So here's this emotion, frustration. What's obvious in this mind and body that's frustrated? Contraction, tension, perhaps some thoughts in the mind. So that's the kind of basic exploration. Just what's obvious about being frustrated? Am I aware, and what's obvious? And then checking into, of course, our relationship. So the same basic instructions are at play in our initial exploration of difficult experience. Am I aware? Can I be aware of this? What's obvious? And what's my relationship to it? Sometimes with difficult emotions, the difficulty is really kind of hooked to a large conditioned habitual pattern that can kind of overwhelm us or overwhelm our ability to be mindful of it anyway. If we practice certain kinds of mind states a lot in our lives, if that's been an orientation for us, reacting with anger, for instance, if that's been an orientation for us in our lives, then that pattern can be very strong. It's like it's deeply grooved into our mind, that pattern. Perhaps stronger, it's got stronger ruts, stronger grooves than our ability to be mindful of that state. And so we may find when certain really strongly conditioned patterns arise, am I aware? Doesn't even occur to us. You know, it doesn't even cross our minds to think about being aware of this. So we're just in the story. When we eventually do wake up, kind of getting a sense, and this is where wisdom and discernment comes into play in terms of applying this practice. It may be that you might be able to say, am I aware, for a moment, and then you're back into the tsunami of that emotion. If you see that happening, then it may be time to do something else rather than just the simple, basic, am I aware, what's obvious, what's my relationship to it. It may be time to apply some other tools. The first tool that's really helpful is seeing if you can be curious about these difficult states of mind. They are a manifestation of how your mind gets caught, gets stuck, gets confused. And so it is your very place of learning. it's not a mistake that it's arising. And it is the very things that catch us are the very places where we can learn how to first we learn, how does our mind do that? How does our mind get caught in those things? And then slowly our minds learn how to let those go. So it's not a mistake when difficulty arises in our meditation. It's actually part of the process. The process of meditation is sometimes called purification. And purification, part of the work of purification, is to pull the difficulties to the surface so they can be seen. Mindfulness kind of functions like soap in the laundry machine. And you put your dirty clothes in the wash and you put the water in there and then you put the soap in there. And the soap kind of attracts the dirt. It kind of pulls the dirt to it. So the dirt comes out of the clothes and into the water with the soap. So you get dirty water. It becomes the soap has kind of begun to purify the clothes, but you see the dirt in the water. Well, this isn't a mistake. This is how soap works. And likewise with mindfulness. As we bring our mindfulness to our experience, it begins to point out to us the places we cling, the places we hold, the places we react. It brings them into consciousness so they can be seen and released. When they are not in consciousness, when they're not coming to the surface, pulled out as if through soap into the water, they continue to guide our actions, our choices, without our awareness of them. And so this mindfulness begins to pull these difficulties into consciousness. So that's the first kind of exploration. Rather than being upset about the fact that you're seeing anger, aversion, frustration, pride, wanting, confusion, be glad that it's being pulled out into consciousness. I can be seen here at least. It's not guiding me. It's not driving me without being seen. It's not the levers behind the curtain anymore. At least it's seen. So that's the first piece. Curiosity. Be interested and be curious in these difficult states. They actually are our pathway towards freedom. The fact that they're being revealed is good news. May not feel like it, but it is good news. Then investigation. Begin to explore this difficult state. A good way to explore difficult emotions is by perhaps directing the attention. Now, this is not the typical instruction. Usually it's what's obvious. But in this case, what's obvious often is when it's overwhelming, when a difficult state is overwhelming, what's obvious are those things that tend to catch us and pull us away. The thoughts, for instance. So we may have to kind of consciously not connect with those obvious things and turn our attention to something that we can ground with, connect with. Often the body is a very helpful place to ground when there's difficult emotion. So what is the impact of this emotion on the body? How does it make the body feel? Tightness, contraction, aching, tension, vibration, heat. How does it make the body feel? Sometimes in observing or exploring something difficult, we can kind of get into a very narrow relationship to it. It's like, oh, here's this difficulty coming up, and we may be curious about it. It kind of might be like, oh, good, here's a difficulty. Let me put that under the microscope and look at it and figure it out. So we can get kind of narrow around our exploration of difficult states. And that may at times be helpful. It can be a way to explore something difficult, to kind of look at it very closely with interest. Sometimes that kind of narrowing of focus is more about, it's either about a greed of, oh, there's something to look at, I want to see that, or it's about aversion. If I look at this closely enough, it will go away. So the one tool I found that's helpful in working with difficult emotion is, rather than going to that narrowed approach of looking at something difficult, to kind of let the container get bigger. Allow my mind to consciously recognize this difficult thing that's happening. This anger, this frustration, this depression, this fear, this anxiety, whatever it is. This difficult thing that's happening is just one thing among the many, many things that are happening in the present moment. So that it kind of makes our container of awareness larger. We notice that anxiety is there, and if we're walking, if we're outside, there's a breeze on our cheeks. There's a feeling of warmth from the sun. There's the sight of the trees and the sidewalk and the flowers, the cars going by. There's other body sensations. There's contact of feet on the ground. Oh, and there's the frustration. And there's sight, and there's sound, and there's the frustration, and there's body sensation, and there's the frustration. Kind of just putting it into a larger context. Sometimes when there's something difficult happening, it's like our world narrows and collapses to that difficulty. And this just normalizes it. It's like, well, yeah, that's happening, but there's a lot of other things happening too. So that can be a helpful perspective to bring when there's something difficult happening. If there's a persistent state that's happening, if you find you're in a state of a difficult mind state that seems to be hanging around for a while, it can be helpful to, or maybe it's here for a little while and then it seems to go away for a while and then it comes back and then it goes away. But it seems that the similar kind of state is relatively persistent over hours or even days. I had a state like this on one retreat where depression kept coming back over and over again. So I just began investigating the depression. It was there sometimes, it wasn't there sometimes. Sometimes the mind was agitated around it, frustrated, confused, trying to figure out how to get rid of it. Sometimes it was just able to be with that depression. And as I explored this depression over a number of days, I began kind of seeing the simplicity of just noticing one of three states around that very persistent, difficult state of mind. I noticed when it was present. And if it was present, I noticed whether the mind was caught by it, resisting it, wanting to fix it or change it or do something about it. So some idea that it wasn't okay that state was there. So some feeling of being caught by the state. So it's present, I'm caught by it. Or it's present and it's fine that it's there. Not a problem. Oh, there's the depression again. Oh, look at that. This is what it feels like. There's a different experience in the mind and body when we're not caught by something difficult. So noticing when something is present, when a difficult state is present, whether we're caught or not caught by it. And then one of the really, really helpful pieces is to recognize when it's not there. It, over the course of days, if you're having something, a kind of a persistent mind state happening over days, there will be times when it's not happening. Consciously take that in. It's not happening right now. This piece is really, really helpful to consciously recognize, oh, depression's not happening right now. Okay. And there are times in working with a difficulty that it can be so strong, so overwhelming, that it is not at all helpful to even put your attention anywhere near the vicinity of that state of mind. It can be so sticky that if we even try to look at it even from the side, we'll get stuck into it. It's got so much attractive power to it that it's almost impossible to bring mindfulness to it without getting caught by it. This is, again, another place of discernment, of recognizing, okay, it may not be so helpful to try to be mindful of that state right now. When that kind of thing happens, I find it really helpful to pick something. For me, neutral is best. Pick something else, something completely unrelated. Feet on the ground, sensations of hands, the experience of hearing, whatever might help to ground you in being aware, that's not anywhere close to that difficult emotion. I often find with this kind of instruction, sometimes people tend to think, oh, I could go to the breath for that. I often find with difficult emotions that the emotions are felt in the same area that the breath is felt. And so if you turn your attention to the breath when there's a difficult emotion coming, you may find you're caught back into the emotion because the sensations of the emotions are in so close the same proximity as you're experiencing the breathing. And so sometimes the breath is not the best choice if there's a strong emotion happening. I find things on the periphery of my experience, hands and feet, to be really helpful. Hearing often is helpful because hearing is outside of the domain of the physical body. Unless, of course, what it is that you're reacting to is some sound. That may not be the best place to put your attention then. So using some discernment about what to turn your attention to. This is a kind of a skillful ignoring. It's a turning attention away from what's obvious to something else. Has to be done with a very light touch and not an aversive pushing away of the difficulty. But okay, I see you. I see you anger. I see you anxiety. I see you depression. And I also see that the mindfulness can't really meet you right now. So you do your thing. I'm not going to try to stop you. And I'm going to put my attention over here. I'm going to put my attention on my feet, on my hands. So kind of a very gentle shifting of the attention as opposed to an aversive pushing away of the difficult experience. We can also, in working with difficulty, use reflection, wisdom, bring in skillful thought as a way to help support the mind to be more balanced around a difficulty. So, for instance, if you're having a difficult emotion, you could remind yourself, this is impermanent. Or you could remind yourself, this is just an emotion. It's not me. It's not who I am. It's just a phenomenon. It's just a process happening right now. To reflect on that impersonal nature of our experience. It's a product of conditions. It's a product of the way we were raised. The reason we are responding in this way right now, if we had a choice, if we had the capacity or the capability of controlling our minds, we might say, yeah, I'll let that go. We often don't have that ability. States of mind are often out of our control. So reflecting on that aspect that it's a set of conditions at play. It's not me. It's not I. If it were I, then I would have some control over it. If it were me, I would have some control over it. I could say, yeah, you can go now. Thank you. You've expressed your opinion, and that's enough. We may not have that capacity. So it's that kind of reflection. This is not me. This is not mine. And sometimes you use the phrase, this is nature. This is just, of course it's like this. Of course there's a reactivity around this kind of situation. Look at my past. Look at how I've been trained. Of course. That it can be kind of more gentle, more allowing of that experience, not pushing it away. Sometimes that bringing in that wisdom, this is impermanent or this is nature, can help allow a little bit more space around some of our difficulties and let us meet them with that sense of allowing. So we'll have a shorter sitting now. You may want to adjust your